from what we understand, you've known Pope Benedict for 20 years. And from that experience, can you provide some insight into just how his thinking led to this decision?
Yes, I think I can, Jay, because I was associated with him in the Pontifical Academy of Sciences mostly. We were both members, and I had a few conversations with him. And knowing him as a public figure, so both the private meetings and the public figure, he's a deeply interior man. His decisions come from deep within himself, but he's also a very decisive man. Once he's, you know, set his ways upon it, he really carries it out. And I think this is a perfect example of it. I think it's not a surprise for anyone who knows him. It's a surprise because it hasn't happened in 700 years or so. So it's a surprise to everyone, even his closest associates in the Vatican. But from his personality, I don't think it is. I think his deep concern for the Church, which he served all his adult life, and his witness of John Paul II's growing older and sickly, I think he came to a very firm internal decision that for the good of the Church, this was what he should do. And so that's not a surprise from the point of view of his deeply interior convictions and his love of the Church.
At the same time, though, the papacy, to both its supporters and to its critics, often appears removed and perhaps even above the cultural tides of the modern world. And with his resignation, Pope Benedict almost seems to acknowledge that the pace of the modern world is almost too much to handle in his advanced years. And I'm curious, how do you see this decision then impacting future popes?
Oh, I think it's an invitation to the next conclave, the cardinals at the next conclave. It's an invitation to a deep discernment of what the Church needs today. And I think Pope Benedict, as you've a little bit alluded to, was aware of this. His deteriorating physical and, you know, mental energies at a time when more was required is a deep invitation, I think, to the next conclave to really reconsider the kind of pope that we want. I think it's going to be a very, very open, discerning process. I don't think there's anyone in line, or anyone's in line, really.
So don't jump on those odds that they're already putting out to some of these places, right? Curious about your own personal and professional preferences. You know, you've been in the Vatican, you spent time there for sure. Obviously, you're a deep thinker about all things related to the faith. Do you have preferences in that regard to who should be the next pope or what type of individual should be the next pope?
Yes. I do, Jay. They're very personal, of course. I can't speak for the Church, obviously, but my personal inclination is it really is the moment to go towards Asia, Africa, South America. And there are good candidates there. I don't know those cardinals very well, or those people very well, because it need not be a cardinal, of course, to seek a vibrant individual who has a vision of the universal Church, but also brings that distinct character of the developing world. After all, that's where the Catholic population itself is concentrated, and apart from the Catholic Church, that's where the big movements of the future are happening, no doubt about it.
And I'm just curious, along those lines, an individual who would come out of the emerging world is also probably somebody who has some fairly humble roots, or possibly most certainly is associated with fairly humble roots. Do you think that also would be a benefit, perhaps, to the leadership of the Church?
Oh, very definitely. Of course, our past two popes came from very humble roots. Well, how humble is debatable, but certainly John Paul II came from very humble roots. You know, he worked in factories and all this as a younger man.
But at the same time, they came from modern cultures, though.
That's for sure. Their surrounding culture was a developed modern culture. There's no doubt about that. And you're correct on that. Someone whose adult life has been within a developing country, a developing culture, a struggling country, economically, politically, religiously, etc., would bring a lot to the papacy, a great deal.
You know, I don't know how much you've heard from the media in terms of the many analysts who have been talking about Benedict. One that I did hear that referred to Pope Benedict as a great intellect, but perhaps not a great administrator. And I guess there's two parts to this question, because you do have some personal connection here. Is there any validity to that analysis, and will that administrative element be addressed in the election process?
Yeah, I think there is legitimacy to it, but always a limited legitimacy. The Pope, his function is pastor. So pastoral is the most important, because a good Pope, a good administrator, can delegate the essential administrative jobs, maintaining his personal responsibility. But administration is not at the top of the list. It's not at the top of my list, for sure. And I don't think it's really ever been at the top of the list of the electing cardinals. It's a pastoral role. And frankly, from my experience of the few years, I was only involved in the Vatican through a little more than 1 year of Pope Benedict's papacy. But even looking at it from a distance, he grew into the papacy. He became very pastoral. He struggled with his own personality to be an open kind of person before the public. He traveled, which is not the kind of thing he would want to do, but he felt the pastoral responsibilities to do that. And he grew into the papacy. No doubt about it, his personality was very different from that of John Paul II, but he was closely associated in the Vatican with John Paul II. And again, I repeat, I think his experience of John Paul II throughout John Paul II's 28 years had a deep influence upon him in coming to this decision.
And speaking of traveling, I know that you have to be moving on here, Father Coyne, so I do appreciate your time this morning.
Jay, it's good talking to you. Thanks very much. I hope it's been of some help.